Acts chapter 2, please, in your Bible for just a few minutes. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. We want to continue the message from this morning on the subject Spirit-filled. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And then I'll turn to chapter 4 and read a couple verses as well. This is the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Please look for right now verse number 4, where the Bible says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And then if you flip a page to chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel." Notice, please, Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. Then verse 31 of chapter 4. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Spirit-filled. It's the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And the Word of God says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." This is a great day. Some people call it the birthday of the church. I don't see that statement in the Bible. But it was definitely a great day. What we must remember when we study Acts chapter 2 is that they'd been praying. They'd been waiting for this to happen. Our Lord plainly told them, I'll turn and read it in a moment, but the Lord had told them to tarry and wait until the power came. They needed power. They had been so fearful in recent weeks with the Lord's arrest and crucifixion. I'm sure they thought that they were in danger to be next. They were hiding. They were so timid and scared. And now Jerusalem is full of people for the Feast of Pentecost. There's an incredible opportunity to go out there and reach hundreds and thousands of people. And what do these disciples need? They need power. They need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had said, "And you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Chapter 1, verse 8. They already had the Holy Spirit. They received Him on Resurrection Sunday when Jesus said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And they did. And He had been indwelling them, but they needed more than the indwelling. They needed the infilling. They needed power. Everybody that's saved is saved and has the Holy Ghost, but everybody that's saved does not have power. And that's the fullness. It's the duty and the privilege of every Christian. The Spirit of God not only teaches us, guides us, comes alongside us as our counselor, but empowers us, equips us. That's what the fullness means. These 120 here in the upper room, and as one man said, they're in the upper room, not the supper room. Thank God for both, but we need one more than the other, don't we? They urgently need power, witnessing power, just like Jesus said. It's now been 50 days since resurrection, and they need power. I'm going to turn to Luke 24. You can if you want to. You don't have to, where Jesus talked about receiving power. Luke 24 and 46. The day of our Lord's resurrection, He said to them, "Thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Jesus said, hang around till the power falls. And for 10 days they prayed, they waited, till the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, enabling them to reach their city with the gospel. Now we notice that this fullness that our text talks about was not what many people think. They would consider the fullness to be a matter of the church's edification. But that's not what happened at all. The fullness was given so they could serve, so they could witness. They were filled and then they went out and preached and witnessed with mighty results. So then the fullness of the Spirit of God is power to win the lost in the very city which had crucified Christ. Can you believe that some people read Acts chapter number 2 and they don't see the main thing? The main thing of Acts chapter 2 is not the cloven tongues of fire. The main thing is not even what's happening in the disciples. Though that's all important, and that's our subject. The main thing is 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day. That's the main thing. And the others could be considered incidentals. So it was a miraculous day. And you notice that these disciples spoke with known foreign languages that were understood by those who heard. That's important. They said, we hear people speak in the language in which we were born, not just the language, but the very dialect. And that was a miracle, wasn't it? Isn't it wonderful that when God gave the law, he only spoke it in Hebrew. But when he gave the gospel here, he spoke it in all the languages present. So these people could get saved and take it back home with them. And there's more than a dozen nations and nationalities that are mentioned in Acts chapter number 2. So they receive witness and power. And by the way, the miraculous gift here was a temporary sign to unbelieving Jews. 1 Corinthians 14:22. By the way, this was on a Sunday. Pentecost was a Sunday. Easter was on a Sunday. That's why they met on Sunday in Acts 20 and why they met on Sunday in 1 Corinthians 16. We meet on Sunday. Amen. We meet on Sunday to commemorate the Lord's resurrection. Today's not the Sabbath. That was yesterday. That's Jewish. We're not Jews. We don't observe the Sabbath. I have to say that. It's all right to go to church on Saturday. But, folks, we're not living in the Old Testament, okay? We're living in the New. And we're not Jews. I mean, if anybody is, please tell me after the service. But we're not Jews. We meet on Sunday, just like they did in the New Testament times, to commemorate the Lord's resurrection. Pentecost was on a Sunday. So I just want to say a few more things about the fullness of the Spirit. Again, the purpose of it was power, boldness, compassion, so they could reach their city, Jerusalem, with the gospel. Some people think, you know, if I'll just get full of the Holy Ghost, I'll turn cartwheels. You might and you might not, but you will talk about Jesus. Amen. The Holy Ghost is always talking about Jesus. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll start talking about Jesus. You'll have a burden for lost souls. You'll want to live right because the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost. So this fullness is not automatic. Jesus said, you pray for 10 days, you tarry till the power falls. And I guarantee you, if we can live without it, we live. We will. It's not automatic. It's a decision. It's a surrender, a yieldedness, an exchange of our weakness for divine strength. There are a lot of Christians, sadly, who are weak, fearful, intimidated, They need the fullness. They need the boldness. They need the anointing. I guarantee you, if you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll not be a coward anymore. You say, I can't talk about Jesus. Well, hold on now. You talk about everything else. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen people say, I can't witness, but I tell you what, they can talk about everything else. So we need the fullness of the Holy Ghost to get rid of our fear, our defeat. It is a command to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we see one baptism and many fillings. We are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. That happens one time. 1 Corinthians 12:13. But we are continuously filled as we yield to the Holy Spirit. This was not a one-time event. They're filled in Acts 2. And then again, they're filled in Acts chapter 4. Then it says Peter was filled. Then in Acts chapter 9, it says Paul was filled. And read on, he says he was filled again. Then the whole church was filled. And then it just says Paul was filled. And we see that it happens over and over and over again. It is continuous. It is repetitious. I read to you there about Peter in Acts 4. And then about the whole church in verse 31. I turn to chapter 9 to read about Paul being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:17. Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the day he got saved. And then chapter 13, verse 9, talks about Paul filled with the Holy Ghost and set his eyes on him and said, Acts 13:9. So the Bible is very plain. One baptism, many fillings. Many fillings. As one preacher said, we're leaky vessels, and that's why we have to be filled over and over again. You say, what will happen if I yield my life to the control of the Holy Spirit? Well, you'll have a burden for souls. You'll be soul conscious. You'll pray for people. You'll love people. You won't live right in front of people. Did you know if you don't live right in front of people, it's almost impossible to witness to them? Because you'll think about it, and then the devil will say, you can't witness to him. He knows how you talk. You can't witness to him. He knows you're a cheater. That's why you must live right in front of people. Or if you don't, you go to them and at least apologize and say, I'm sorry, and now let's start from scratch. Okay? So you'll have a burden. Anybody in the Bible that was filled with the Holy Ghost had a burden for souls. In the book of Acts and the Gospels as well. They had courage and compassion. They had boldness. That's lacking today. Have you noticed when these famous evangelists get on television, and like Larry King used to interview them and different ones, and they'd ask them, do you have to be saved to go to heaven? You people say, you fundamentalists say, you got to be saved to go to heaven. Is that so? And more than once, these fellas with no boldness kind of watered it down. And one of them plainly said, no, you don't have to be saved. There's more than one way. There's a back door. You know what that is? That's compromise. That's a lack of boldness, a lack of courage. I mean, we ought to tell the truth, especially something that important, and say to people, hey, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. You say, that's hate. No, that's love. Hate is when you deceive people and you water it down. And these liberal churches have signs that say no to hate. Well, we're not hating anybody. We love people enough to tell them the truth. They're the haters. Amen. Tell people you're all right even though you're not saved. That's hate. So we're not haters. So the evidence is boldness. But many are sinfully silent. Roland Hill was walking along one time and he heard screams in the distance. A mile away, a coal mine had collapsed and he heard the men screaming for help. And he said he shouted to the top of his voice so the people in the town could go to the coal mine and hopefully rescue those people. And thankfully they did. But Roland Hill, the preacher, said, funny thing. He said, everybody congratulated me and thanked me for raising my voice and saying there's danger. These men are in the coal mine. The coal mine has collapsed. Somebody get to them. He said, they thanked me. He said, but I went to church on Sunday and I raised my voice and said people are going to hell. And he said, they got mad at me. He said, I was trying to do the same thing, save people's lives and souls. That's the way people are. They will resent you trying to help them. That's how depraved and deprived people are, isn't it? What do? You love them anyway. You love them anyway. Are you a bold Christian? Are you a bold Christian? I remember one of these false groups took my picture and put it on a wanted ad and said, he's a bold opponent of Christianity. Well, I'm against Calvinism, if that makes me a bold opponent. But that was them saying that. Bro, you just stand on the truth and somebody's going to see. Amen? Somebody's going to hear, especially in this day of watered down religion. Let me hurry on. So what changed these fellows? The fullness of the Spirit. They were cowards. And now they're boldly in the streets proclaiming the gospel. And the Lord gave them great power and great joy and great results. Read on. They turned the world upside down just like Jesus commanded. So if we are without his power, then we're going to be unequipped. Did you ever try to do your job without your tools? That's a hard thing to do. You got to have your tools. We'll be unendued, powerless, even unwilling. A friend of mine said if you get to the place in your Christian life where you can become, the more you do, the more you want to do, the less you want to do, he said. And it's a sad thing, some Christians, they're not only unable, they're unwilling. Folks, if we'll stay in touch with the Holy Ghost, then he'll keep us willing. Don't you ever lose that willingness. Whatever God wants to do for you and through you, say, yes, Lord, I will. There was an artist, when he painted, he always wore a light on his cap. And they said, why? He said, because if I don't, he said, my own shadow will be thrown onto the canvas and it'll prevent what I'm trying to do. And folks, I'm afraid a lot of times it's our own shadow that gets in our way. It's the self-life. It's us. And we need less and less of us and more of him. Amen. And the Holy Spirit who glorifies Christ will do for us what he did for them at Pentecost and give us boldness and power and compassion. Next time you see a sinner, don't say, oh, that sorry old fella. Say, that used to be me. Say, that could be me. Say, Jesus can make the difference. Amen? Say, I'll tell him how to be saved. Amen. I'll give him a Bible. I'll invite him to church. Somebody says to me they're full of the Holy Ghost and they're never concerned about anybody but themselves. I don't believe that. That's not biblical. You can't prove that from the Bible. Let me close with an incredible illustration or two. Back when we were on the mission field, we went one night. I don't remember if my family was with me or not, 25 years ago. went to a university to hear a man speak. He was the leading terrorist. He was a leading terrorist in that country. And he had got elected to office, as many of them had. Well, he spoke, and after the seminar, I went up to him and I handed him a Bible. And he had his bodyguards with him. And when we got back to the car, the fellow with me said, "You could have got killed." He said, "You know who that fellow was? That's the leading terrorist in this country." He said, "Normally when people hand something to him, they get shot. Anybody reaching toward him gets shot or put in the hospital." He said, "It's a miracle that you're still alive." I said, "Why didn't you tell me that before I handed him that Bible?" I'm glad I don't know what I'd have done. But I gave him a Bible. Amen. I gave him a Bible. Could have got killed. Probably should have. But the Lord was looking out. Amen. The fullness of the Spirit will make you sweet. Will make you like Jesus. Will give you urgency. You know the urgency we need is that little girl. Do you know the name Kate Shelley? She was 15 years old that night that the railroad bridge collapsed right near her home. And she said to her mama, she said, "I've got to run to the railroad station and tell them the bridge is out." She said, "I know there's a midnight express coming by here and it'll have hundreds of people on it and they're all going to go down in the Great Gulf and be killed if I don't get to the railroad station." And her mama said, "Honey, there's a storm going on and your lantern will be blown out and you'll have to cross the great high trestle over the Des Moines River there. I don't know if you can do it or not. I must try." And that little 15-year-old girl, her lantern only lasted a few seconds and on hands and knees crawled across a mighty trestle and collapsed there almost out of life and breath when she said, "Stop the express train. The bridge is out." And thank God they flagged down the midnight express and 200 people's lives were saved. And when they all found out what was done, they came to this little girl and hugged her neck in tears and said, "But for your determination and your compassion, we would all been killed tonight." They made a hero out of her. The Iowa legislature gave her a gold medal. That's the urgency I'm talking about. That's the determination I'm talking about. That dares to swing the lamp of truth and say to a dying world, "The bridge is out. Turn back. Get saved. Repent before it's too late." How many people do you hear saying that most Christians have got their mouths closed? They're weak, they're afraid, or they're part of the problem. What we need is some old-fashioned, can I say it, Pentecostal power. That makes you love people and warn people and beg people and say, "Well, no distance too great. No price too high to pay because souls are at stake." That's what we need. You say, "That ain't my business." If you're saved, that's your business. That's your business. You better be glad somebody made you their business. Amen.